It's All About Food with Karen Hartglass, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Hartglass, and welcome to It's All About Food. Thank you so much for tuning in. And just a little bit of what we do here during this hour on It's All About Food, talking about my favorite subject, food. I'm Karen Hartglass, and I'm the founder of a nonprofit called Responsible Eating and Living. And what I like to do is connect the dots and talk about how food affects environment, health, the treatment of animals. But most of all, I love to show that we can change the world and we can have fun doing it. Because the food tastes great, and it's good for us, it makes us feel great, and there's no reason. There's really no good reason not to eat this way, healthy, plant-based, beautiful, colorful foods. And this is just a season to be jolly. This is holiday time. And more we're seeing cookbooks coming out, recipes coming out, made with all beautiful plant-based ingredients to show we can have our cake and eat it too. We can have it all. It's gorgeous, it's delicious, it's fun, and so we're just going to continue the party here for this next hour. I'm going to pour myself a chilled virtual beer and introduce my first guest, John Schlimm, the author of The Tipsy Vegan, just in time for the holidays. John Schlimm, a member of one of the oldest brewing families in the United States, brings together the flavor of the kitchen and the fun of the bar in the Tipsy Vegan 75 boozy recipes to turn every bite into happy hour, showcasing plant-based recipes that feature everything from beer to brandy. He presents irresistibly tasty dishes that are easy to prepare and reveal the wilder side of everyday fruits and vegetables. Welcome to It's All About Food.
Hey, Karen, I'm so excited to be with you and all your listeners. We're going to have fun with this one for sure.
Oh, absolutely. I love your book, and I love the attitude and everything about it because, well, like I just said, there's only joy in this food. There's only fun, and it's about time we started changing the image of plant-based food and vegan people.
That's right. I when I set out, I really wanted to create a party in a book. I wanted you to check reality at page one and just let the party carry you away from there and really redefine what vegan food is. Because like you said, that word vegan has become sort of scary and mysterious to a lot of people, especially those of us who aren't vegans. And I really wanted to sort of plow right on through all of those misconceptions and show that this really can be a very fun and healthy way of eating.
Okay, let me ask you, are you a vegan?
Yes, yes.
You mentioned
in a small town, which in a very small rural town, which
in
you know,
Pennsylvania.
So that's an interesting perspective, to sort of bring to this. You know, I'm surrounded by family and friends who are very ingrained in the hunting and meat eating culture here. So it's been an interesting journey.
Well, how do they handle you, and how do you handle them?
Well, you know, I think it's sort of a mutual respect of sorts and sort of learning what makes each other tick. You know, I think I, for a long time, have been sort of a strange figure to a lot of people here, and they sort of watch what I do. And, you know, rather than being preachy, I sort of just lead by example and quietly. And it's been really interesting since The Tipsy Vegan came out and since I transitioned to this lifestyle a few years ago. I have so many people at home here coming up to me saying, you know, we don't really eat that much meat anymore,
mm-hmm.
or we don't really even like the taste of meat anymore. And it's almost like this book has helped them come out of the meat cooler as opposed to the closet, and sort of like they're feeling a little more comfortable saying, you know what, I don't really want to eat that much meat anymore. And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned people coming out about this. I lived in the south of France for 4 years in the 90s, and I never met a vegetarian. And then late in the 90s, no, somewhere in the early 2000s, this veggie pride parade started in Paris. And the vegetarians were coming out of the closet, literally. It was hysterical. And now we have veggie pride parade here in New York City and in a variety of places. But there's a lot of reason to have pride in this choice.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I wanted to, you know, not only create the party in a book, but a party that everyone was welcome at, whether you are a lifelong vegan, an occasional visitor, or maybe you're just hungry. You know, my door is
everybody's
open.
Always hungry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, my door, or book cover as it is, you know, is always open to everyone to come on in and just have fun.
Well, I'm looking at some very interesting numbers, and this should bode well for the sale of your book, and that is... Vegetarian Resource Group just came out with the results of a Harris poll. I don't know if you've seen it, but apparently 3% of the men in the United States are vegan, 2% of women.
Wow.
And, yeah, those are pretty big numbers for us, and it's definitely increasing. And there are many people that are acknowledging that they eat less meat, less chicken, less fish, and all of that is great, and it's great for our health, it's great for the environment, it's great for the animals, and it's great for vegan cookbook sales.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think documentaries like Forks Over Knives and Veggiecated, you know, they have helped so much nationally, as well as having people like Bill Clinton and Ozzy Osbourne, for heaven's sakes, come out and say that they are transitioning to a plant-based lifestyle. You know, it's just sort of a wonderful time to be in this world.
Now, your bio says you got a master at Harvard. What was it in?
In education.
Education, very good. Was that a while ago or recently?
I graduated in 2002, so not too long ago.
Were you vegetarian inclined at that time at all, or?
I actually wasn't. I wasn't, but you know, certainly I saw that influence around me there,
mm-hmm.
and I think it just sort of added to my own pathway to getting to this point, which is great.
Well,
and I think we're seeing that across college campuses, you know, everywhere, and that's so exciting for me that this option is now available to students.
Well, your book kind of has a frat boy party flavor, which is kind of fun. So I just was wondering about that.
Well, I actually drank a lot while I was at Harvard. It's a huge party school.
Well, all schools are.
Certainly that influence didn't hurt.
You know, it's amazing we all graduate from college, or those that do, because there is definitely so much party going on. You mentioned in your acknowledgments the thing that turned you over to the Big V side was page 266 of Jonathan Safran Foer's book, Eating Animals.
Yes.
And I'm wondering what – I've got that book, and I'm open to that page. This is an amazing book, and where people talk about John Robbins back in 1987 writing the groundbreaking bestseller Diet for New America, I think Jonathan Safran Foer's book, which came out a few years ago, is the next of that ilk, this groundbreaking book that ties it all together in a really beautiful human way.
I absolutely agree. And, you know, so I'm reading through the book and, of course, just growing more and more horrified by what he is, you know, really educating me about that I did not know about before and in a beautiful way. And I hit page 266 where he's talking about Thanksgiving turkeys, and he says, let's just basically call it what it is, they're unloved.
Hmm.
And it was that word, unloved. I immediately got out a highlighter and highlighted it.
Oh.
I got out a pen and circled it.
I'm circling
it
right now.
I never want to forget. Mm-hmm.
I'm circling it right now. There
yeah,
I'm
like, I never want to forget that, because at its very core, these animals on these factory farms are unloved. And that just breaks my heart every day.
Well, especially
thought,
since the theme of Thanksgiving,
know,
you're supposed to be grateful and feeling all this love, and there's just so much hypocrisy right on the table.
That's right. And I thought, you know, no living being, human or animal, should ever go through this life unloved. And so it was that one word that really just revolutionized my life, and I'll forever be grateful for it. And that's actually, if you look at the dedication in the Tipsy Vegan, I allude back to that.
Mm-hmm. Has anyone else in your family shifted since you've made this transition?
Not shifted to a complete plant-based diet, but it has been really interesting to see my closest friends who are now eating more veggie burgers instead of beef burgers. They're, you know, instead of, you know, chicken, they're devouring those, like, meatless nuggets that you get in stores. So they're slowly getting there, you know. And that's been really fantastic. And, you know, now they'll text me pictures of the meals they're making with the veggie burgers or the tofu, and it's an exciting time.
Now, you grew up in a beer brewing environment.
Yes.
Which is really fascinating. Can you just, I'm just kind of curious about all of that. Can you talk a little bit about it?
Sure. My family is one of the oldest brewing families in the U.S., like you said. Our Straub Brewery here in Pennsylvania was founded by my great-great-grandfather, Peter Straub, in the 1870s. And so today, we are one of the few remaining breweries to still be owned and operated by the founding family. And so it's a heritage that we take very seriously. You know, and for me, it inspired me to write a couple beer cookbooks a few years ago. So that was my first foray into boozy food, if you will, and it's just been sort of a great and fun ride. And you know, I'm always
Hello. I think we
are.
Oh, you're back. Good. I wasn't.
You know,
I'm sorry. I wasn't ready to let you go.
And, you know, I'm always asked if I work at the brewery, which I don't. My cousins, I think, you know, think if I would, if they'd put me on the assembly line, it would turn into that scene from I Love Lucy where she and Ethel are in the chocolate factory and it would all go crazy. So, you know, they're very happy to send me off to do my book tours and all of that, and I'm more than happy to go. But I also do a lot of the charity work on behalf of the brewery and my family. So we've all sort of found our niche.
Great. Well, a couple of my college buddies, I have a master's in chemical engineering, and so we used to always talk about how things were done. We were always fascinated by beer foam, and we would get into lots of discussions about beer foam, and there's quite a lot of technology behind beer foam.
Well, you know, the whole thing is such a chemistry, and in fact, just in the last 2 years, the brewery has installed a lab, you know, to test the beer and everything, and I just walk in there, and it just blows me away how fantastic it is. My mind doesn't work in that direction, but I can certainly appreciate what goes into it.
Has anyone ever asked you this? I've gotten this question a few times when I tell people I'm vegan. Some of the questions they ask are, is yeast vegan? Can you eat yeast?
I haven't actually gotten that question. you know, I pretty much just get, well, what can you eat? They just don't quite.
I know, what can you eat? That's a tiring question. But it just shows how our minds have been so programmed around animal foods that we can't even imagine. You know, spaghetti with tomato sauce is vegan.
Yeah,
it's very simple.
It's very simple, and you know, and again, the Tipsy Vegan, I hope, will show people that we indeed eat a lot, and we indeed eat quite well.
Let's talk a little bit about this book. One thing I like about it is we need more guy-oriented books in the vegan world. There's a few of them that have come out, and you know, I just love books that come out that appeal to different groups of people, because I'm on a mission to get everybody loving plant foods, and any way we can do it is great. And so there are different niches that appeal to different people, and this would definitely appeal to a certain group of people, the fun ones.
Yes, the party people, as we call
them. The party people.
Them.
But, you know, people have been cooking with alcohol for a very long time. And one of the things I like about it, I don't like to use oil very much when I'm sautéing, and so alcohol, wine, is just a wonderful thing to add flavor to food and to sauté in.
It absolutely is, and especially, you know, this time of the year when all of us are getting tons of bottles of wine and everything else as gifts, some of which you may not exactly want to drink, it's perfect for cooking.
Perfect for cooking.
So it doesn't have to go to waste. You don't have to re-gift it, because you might not even want to re-gift it.
Mm-hmm.
You can use it to cook with. And so it's fantastic for all those gifts that we're going to be getting soon.
Were you always into cooking?
I've always been into eating. You know, I'm not a chef. I love to eat, and I think it's really from that perspective, the perspective of the eater and the perspective of the host or the hostess, that I write these books, you know, and have the most fun with them. And I think that's why they have sort of the bent that they do.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know, both of my parents are fantastic cooks, so I grew up watching them and, you know, learning from them. And now I've just put my own spin on it.
Well, it certainly looks like you know what you're doing. The pictures are beautiful, and the recipes are pretty tasty.
Well, they have, of course, to get into the book, they have to be the best recipes of the lot. So, because I really want people to enjoy them.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the ones that I'm looking at... Okay, you've got some really cutesy little titles here. I'm like, The Hangover Tofu Omelet with Sauteed Chopped Bell Pepper Filling.
Yes.
Omelets is something that we don't see very much in the vegan world because it's a little bit of a challenge, but this looks like a pretty good recipe.
Well, and you know, there are only maybe two or three tofu recipes in the book. Because I again wanted this book to appeal to a really broad range, and I think a lot of vegan cookbooks, they rely so heavily on the standbys, tofu, tempeh, seitan. But at the same time, for all those people who say, ugh, tofu, I don't like that, I wanted to show, yes, this is a way you will definitely like it.
You know, it's funny that. Well, the first time I ever had tofu, I was in college, and this was a very long time ago. And I wanted to like it, and it was all in my head. I made this dish, and I mashed it up so it was practically invisible. But there was just something, this thing inside that went, ooh, tofu. It's really funny. It's really rather childish the way we respond to foods that we don't know about.
That's true, but you know, I have loved tofu from the first time I tried it, so I'm sort of one of those rare creatures, I think, because you just don't find, I think, too many people who have liked it from the start. They've either had to acquire a taste or really sort of find that one recipe that they love. But you know, my sort of first foray into tofu, which occurred even before I completely transitioned to a plant-based diet, there's a favorite Chinese restaurant of mine here, and I always love to eat the Hunan chicken. And so I thought, I don't want the chicken anymore. And so I went in and I said, could you put tofu in instead of the chicken? And they did. And it's the most amazing dish. And now, you know, you asked about my friends and family. Now when my friends go in with me, that's what they order as well. And so I said to the waitress, you really need to put this on your menu.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an odd twist, but the Chinese were probably cooking originally with more tofu than they were with flesh. And
yeah.
Moving to the United States, everything has been so flesh-oriented that they've adjusted many of the recipes, which probably originally were with tofu. So there's something you have in here that I'm really nutty about, and I'm looking for what you called it. It's the fried egg, the fried avocado. What was that called?
Oh, and the plastered party starters?
Yeah. It's like a breaded fried, oh, here it is, the fried avocado paint the town. Okay, now this is a crazy, crazy recipe. I love cooked avocado. It has such an incredible flavor. It's almost like crack to me. I don't do it very often because it's just too crazy. But you don't see cooked avocado very often.
You don't, and it's such a brilliant food, and I think it's another one that some people are just kind of afraid of. And so my solution was, let's add a little tequila. and make it a little less frightening for people. and that's actually one of the recipes people on Twitter and Facebook are telling me they are really enjoying that recipe. So that makes me feel good. But yeah, anytime tequila is involved, you know, it can't be so bad.
Now, are you a big drinker? Just curious.
I may have to plead the fifth on that one. When I go out, I do love to drink. I love extra dirty vodka martinis.
Yeah.
Of course, I love beer. You know, my family's brewery does this dark beer, which I'm just over the moon about. But really, when I go out, it's dirty vodka martinis. In fact, I just spent the last weekend in New York, which I think is where you are.
Yep.
You're from New York, celebrating my birthday weekend, and when I with friends, and when I left, I don't think there was a drop of vodka left in the city. So we had a good time.
Yeah, well, this is the greatest city in the world, period, and probably the greatest place to find all kinds of food, including amazing vegan food. Did you go to any of our wonderful restaurants?
Yes, in fact, my friend took me, and I hope I get the name correct, to a fantastic Indian restaurant called Tiffin Walla, or Walla Tiffin.
Wow, there's so many of them here in New York.
Oh, you have to. I can't even tell you where it is, because when I'm in New York, I just follow my friends wherever.
Is it vegetarian?
Yes. The entire restaurant is vegetarian, because it was so funny. I was going down the menu, and I kept asking the waiter, now, this doesn't have any meat in it, does it? And my friend was like, this is a vegetarian restaurant.
Yeah, well, sometimes we're so ingrained in that habit. When you're in a place that's all vegan, it's sometimes incomprehensible, but it's delightful.
I know, especially coming from, you know, a small town where, you know, when I go to a restaurant here, even the salads are loaded with meat. And so they kind of look at me funny when I say, well, can you just not put the fish or the steak or the chicken on the salad and just give me the greens? And they're just like, what?
Yeah, somehow, slowly, information's getting out that we need to eat more vegetables and salad's healthy, but somehow salad isn't healthy unless it has grilled chicken on it. I don't know where that message came from, but it's very popular.
Yeah, or they'll load it with French fries, which, you know, which are certainly vegan enough to eat, but I've never understood French fries on top of salads either.
Yeah, but beware, because French fries can have beef flavoring and all kinds of nasty
that
things in
true.
It. Yeah,
yes.
I'm looking on the Barnivore site, which you mention in your book as a place to discover which alcoholic beverages are vegan, because not all alcohol is vegan. You talk a little bit about that in your book. I'm noticing Straub beer is on the vegan-friendly list. Was it always vegan-friendly?
Yeah, it has been. And, you know, what's interesting, I hadn't really even thought about, and I don't think a lot of people have, whether alcohol is vegan or not before I really got into writing this book. I just assumed, oh, well, what can be in vodka or wine or beer or whatever? Until I learned, well, some beers and wines are processed using fish bladders and,
yeah,
you know, and other nasty things. And so it's not necessarily about what the ingredients are, but how it's actually made. And then I thought, oh, my goodness, I hope our beer at the brewery is vegan. You know, so I slowly typed in the name, and of course, and it came up vegan friendly. Like, oh, thank goodness! I would have had to have a serious talk with my cousins up there. And I actually afterwards did call our new brewmaster and said, I just want to confirm that this is correct. And he's like, yes, there are no animal products used. And I'm like, thank goodness, that's going to save us a sit-down chat.
Well, you bring up a very good point, and that is, and it's something that I like to talk about a lot on this show, we really need to be mindful about so many things. There's just so many things we take for granted. We don't know what's in our food. We don't know how things are made. And when that happens, horrible things can happen. And, you know,
absolutely.
I mean, using egg whites or fish bladders to make alcoholic beverages when clay or other natural plant, non-animal things can be used. How do we get there? Who thinks of these things?
Well, and it just blows me away that, you know, specifically with the alcohol, that there are still companies that would use animal products when there are so many others that don't, and it would seem to me it's quite easy to not use the animal products. And I think it's really to their detriment, and, you know, they're sort of cutting off what could be a huge chunk of their audience by doing that.
Yeah, well, as the 7.5 million of us become more savvy about what's in our alcohol, it'll make a difference. I still think most people and most vegans probably don't realize that a lot of their wine and beer isn't, or some of it isn't. But we're letting them know.
I agree. I don't think they do, and I think that in a sort of a gentle way, the tipsy vegan will sort of start alerting people to pay more attention to the alcohol that they're consuming and cooking with.
Yeah, and I don't want to be the vegan police. But
no.
I want people to enjoy themselves and, you know, not worry about it. And it's really when we talk about the big picture of why people want to eat plant-based foods, I think this is a small piece of a bigger puzzle. So I wouldn't sweat over it if you're having a wine and you're not sure if it was filtered with egg whites or not. I don't think that's a big deal. But it's certainly great that there's a website you can go to, barnivore.com, to check it out.
Yes, I completely agree.
So where do you want the tipsy vegan to go?
I wanted to go to every party in the country because I want people to just have fun with it. You know, again, on Twitter and Facebook, I'm hearing from so many people who tell me that they're using this book to set their menu themes for their holiday parties. I actually just did an exclusive holiday cocktail party menu for VegNews.com,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure a lot of your listeners listen to. So if they go to that, they can see a special menu that's not in the book on there. And people are telling me that they're using it, since the book is, you know, a great little small book that fits in stockings and
exactly.
purses and backpacks. They're giving this book as a host and hostess gift this season.
Yeah, it's
and
a perfect
I
size.
Just love
it's
that.
The perfect season. It's really fun, and I don't think it's great because it's not a scary book that non-vegetarians would be scared about. It's humorous, and it's all good. Well done.
Yeah, there's nothing scary about me. I just want to have fun and, you know, party.
Right. And we love Veg News. We were selected as one of the 10 nonprofits you need to know about this year in their best of 2011.
Oh, congratulations.
So I like to share that and spread that around and repeat it over and over. Well, John, thanks. This is great. And it's great talking to you. Perhaps one day we can share a beer, a vegan beer.
Oh, I hope. Well, I'll bring some of my families that we can that we can share. I hope, you know, I wish you and your listeners just happy holidays, and I hope that they're also quite buzzworthy.
Thank you. But don't be a tipsy vegan and drive.
No. Be a responsible tipsy vegan. Just stay over wherever you are. Then you can imbibe even more.
Well, I don't think people can really get too sloshed on any of these recipes. There's really just small amounts, and they just make it fun and flavorful.
Oh, that's right. Absolutely. Of course, every chapter starts with a cocktail, so that's where you have to watch.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get you.
Okay, well, very, very happy holidays to you. Is there a website people can go to for this book and others?
Absolutely. They can go to johnschlim.com, and there they can connect with me also on Twitter and Facebook, which I'd love.
Okay, have a very, very tipsy happy holiday. Thanks,
you too,
Tom.
Karen. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. We're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back with Terry Hope Romeo and Isa Chandra Moskowitz talking about vegan pie in the sky. Hello, I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food, and the party today continues. We are going to talk next about pie. Why not? I'm feeling a little lightheaded after talking to the tipsy vegan, but I think I can manage. We're going to be talking to Isa Moskowitz and Terry Romero on Vegan Pie in the Sky. Holidays, check. Birthdays, check. Tuesdays, check. Our research says life in is 100% better. Any day pie is involved. There's nothing like a rich, gooey slice of apple pie straight from the oven, baked in a perfectly flaky crust and topped with cinnamon sugar. And now it can be yours along with dozens more mouth-watering varieties. Vegan at last and better than ever. Vegan Pie in the Sky is the latest force in Issa Chandra Moskowitz and Terry Hope Romero's baking revolution. You'll find delicious and adorable pies, tarts, cobblers, cheesecakes, and more, all made without dairy, eggs, or animal products. From fruity to chocolatey, nutty to creamy, Vegan Pie in the Sky has the classic flavors you crave, and the recipes are as easy as, well, you know. Welcome to It's All About Food.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Hi, that's Terry.
No, this is Issa.
Oh, that's Issa. That's Terry.
This is Terry.
Okay, well,
we're kind of a hive mind, so it's okay.
Okay, yeah. Very good. Well, thanks for joining me on It's All About Food. So you both are really changing the world, and it's a great thing, and it's always great to see one of your new books come out.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So everyone loves pie. And yeah, I don't know, do you know the history behind pie?
You know, I don't really know what the history is.
It's really bleak. And so I'm so glad that pie has evolved to the delightful, cozy, comforting, loving, delicious place that it is today, especially when it's vegan. But reading about it, like in the 14th, 16th century or so, somewhere around there, I mean, people used to make these horrible crusts, and they called them coffins.
Okay.
And they'd use them instead of dishes or packaging to hold their meat and sauces and things like that.
Well, you know, they used to use a lot of things as packaging, like stomachs of animals and things like that. So.
There you go.
Yeah. So you weren't actually supposed to eat those. Those were actually thrown out.
Right. They weren't eaten. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's what I'm joyful about today, because, you know, when you think about all the things that are wrong in the world, you got to think about all the things that are right. And we have come a long way just in the pie department. So
if all else fails, we've got pie.
It's what?
Oh, I just said if all else fails, we have pie. I kind of have an echo, so I'm sorry if I'm hard to understand.
Oh, well, if you want, we can get you back on without an echo.
I mean, that would be great.
Okay, so this is Terry or Issa?
Issa.
Okay, so I'm going to have you hang up, and my engineer will take care of you. Okay, well, Terry, let's just continue until we have Issa back on.
All right.
Okay. So why pie in your series of food books that you've been making?
Well, we thought it was time. I think we'd been thinking about a pie book for a while in our sort of our dessert quest, our plan of vegan dessert conquest. We had done, you know, cupcakes, and then after that we did cookies. And it just seemed like now was the time for pie. You know, now you see vegan cupcakes everywhere.
Mm-hmm, I think, that's right.
You know, you can go into even like your typical vegan bakery, and or not even vegan bakery, just any regular bakery, and you might even find a vegan cupcake.
Do you think vegan cupcakes take over the world was responsible for this incredible movement behind cupcakes?
They're pretty much responsible for everything, every good thing going on in the world since 2006. I think so. We've been working
hard
on that one.
Bunnies and flowers, everything.
Yeah, pretty much happiness in general.
Why not
vegan cupcakes?
Okay, some people are nervous about making pie because they think it's hard. And I know it's not. I make all different kinds of pie. You talk in the book to kind of get over the fear of pie making.
Yeah, I think, I think it is hard. Like, once you start doing it, though, it becomes easier and easier. And we talk a lot about how to make it easier in the book and kind of walk you through it step by step, and it's worthwhile. It's a worthwhile skill to have. So, I mean, most things in life that are worthwhile might be a little challenging at first.
I like that. You know, we live in a society where people want it now. They want quick gratification, And as a result, I think a lot of us are depressed. And it takes time, it takes investment to get a skill and to appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, yeah, we talk about how the pie or, you know, making pie crust is definitely the opposite of fast food.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, everyone talks about slow food, this and that, but there's really something to be said about making your own pie crust. And there's not even a lot of crazy ingredients. It's pretty straightforward, but it just is something that gets better, you know, the second or third time or the fourth time you make it. You see a big difference. You see how your applied effort really, you know, pays off.
Well, the ideal pie crust, of course, is one that you make the dough and it gets all nice and smooth and pliable, and you can roll it out and it rolls nicely and it doesn't stick to anything, and then you pick it up and it goes into the pan and you can trim the edges and all beautiful and easy. But often when people aren't familiar with how to do that, their dough may be too moist, too dry, and it sticks to everything and it crumbles and they get upset.
There's so many variables when working on pie. So even the temperature of your kitchen, the temperature of your hands, the temperature of the ingredients. So the more you get a feel for it, the more you know what you might have to adjust.
But I think the thing with dough, which I want to share with everyone, is even if you can't roll it, you can always press it into a crust, and no one will ever know.
Yeah, definitely. We do have
in the book there are crusts that aren't pastry crusts that are more, you know, crumb crusts that you press in, or I think we have a rollout crust that you press in as well, the
mm-hmm.
almond one.
I like it, in the beginning of the book you talk about a number of things, and I wanted to talk about them. One is each of you have different preferences for rolling pins. I was amused by that because I have used a wine bottle so many times when I've been in a kitchen and wanted to make a pie, and who doesn't have a rolling pin? So many people.
It's true. We did give DIY options for almost any equipment that you need.
Mm-hmm.
So we did include wine bottle.
Yeah, no, I love all of that. I wasn't really grading myself, but I certainly was more of the do-it-yourself kind for most of your categories.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's by choice or it's just my nature, but I always just wing it a lot of times. One thing I was surprised about was what alcohol will do to a pie crust.
Yeah, everyone asks about that. It's pretty funny. About the vodka pie crust.
Well, I was just talking to John Schlimm and the Tipsy Vegan, and he's adding alcohol and everything. So I was just amused to just read in this one, oh, there's more alcohol in here, but it makes a crust flakier.
Yeah, it's pretty cool what it does. And it doesn't leave the pie crust tasting like vodka or anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, vodka doesn't have much of a flavor.
Yeah, I think some people read that and they're like, "Am I gonna, you know, get drunk?" No. it just adds a little nice extra flakiness.
There's this vegan gelatin called agar.
So nice they had to name it twice.
And I love this stuff. You mentioned in the book, and I find it very frustrating that the stuff they sell in the health food stores is the wrong kind.
Yeah, flakes.
Flakes, not powder, and powder's easier to use. Why is this?
You know, I have no idea why. That's a good question, because we just kind of went with it and never thought to ask why.
Yes.
But that brand, the flakes, Eden Foods, I mean, I guess it's harder for other companies to get distribution or something. But we order agar powder either online at Vegan Essentials or in Asian grocery stores is really the best route to go, because you get a lot for a lot less. And it's basically a seaweed that acts like gelatin.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
What was the second place you mentioned after Vegan Essentials?
Asian groceries.
Okay.
There's a brand called Telephone Brands. And Terry, how much does that cost? Because I stole yours.
I've noticed a wide range in price for agar per pound. You know, it can go from like $25 to $70 a pound, and I'm not sure what the difference is.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the actual ingredient, I don't think there's a quality difference. I've, you know, used them interchangeably.
Right. Well, it's magical. Agar is magical. And you use it in a number of different recipes for a number of different things.
Yes, we use it for custards and to make like jelly toppings on like the lemon and the lemon pie to make it kind of like the, it's an upside down lemon meringue.
Mm-hmm.
So the inside of the pie is creamy and meringue-y and the top is jelly. We just basically use it as a stabilizer for creams and mousses and things like that.
Well, of course, the conventional thing to use is gelatin, which is not vegan and made from all kinds of delectable things like horse cartilage.
Mm-hmm.
And agar is really lovely.
I'm back.
Oh, good.
Okay,
we
you were gone.
You.
I was talking to you about agar.
We were talking about agar powder.
Magic.
And yes, it's magic. And why the health food store sells flakes and not powder, which isn't as magical.
I was just going to ask you, Terry, how much that telephone brand agar powder is.
Oh, it's like
isn't it super cheap?
A packet. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it lasts.
It's
for
the cheapest thing ever.
Yeah, 20 million years.
Right, because
I
was just seeing a range of prices per pound at some of these places, and it went from like $25 to $70 a pound. And I didn't know what the difference was.
But that's a pound.
A pound.
Who's going to use a pound of agar ever? Like,
we'll
huge,
try.
Tiny amounts in each.
I like
each
agar.
Calls for maybe a half teaspoon of agar.
But I like it.
Well, that telephone brand, it's a Thai brand. So
mm-hmm.
if you're looking for it, go to a Thai grocery store or possibly even like a large like Pan-Asian grocery store, and you should be able to find it.
I will definitely do that. The other ingredient that I think is magical in my life is tapioca.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like agar, the texture is important. So most people are familiar with pearls, but the tapioca powder is the one that's really magical.
Right, that's more widely available, though.
Yeah.
I mean, any health food store, and even normal groceries sell it as, it's always called something different, tapioca starch, tapioca flour, tapioca powder, it's all the same thing.
It's all the same.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
good
tapioca.
I think
you should be able to, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
You go.
Okay, well, you should be able to find it now because of it's used in a lot of gluten-free baking.
Yeah.
So it's gotten sort of a increased popularity due to that.
Yeah, I've been using
That's
it a
true.
Lot in gluten-free baking, and it's like I just said, it's magical. It's just crazy what it does.
Yeah, we tried to have we weren't sticking so much with, we have to use ingredients everybody has.
Mm-hmm.
This book, honestly, is more about experimenting with flavor and texture. I mean, experimenting a lot with texture, and you just can't if you're going to use, you know, all-purpose flour and everything. These ingredients that we're using they're not expensive. They're pretty affordable. And once you get them, it's not like you have to buy them often. Really, honestly, one thing of agar powder will probably last you your whole life. So it's just a fun way to explore different textures.
Well, I think we're in a time where we're evolving in the culinary world in so many different ways. I mean, unfortunately, some people have celiac disease, and the gluten-free world is expanding because of that. But also because of the vegan world, there's a lot of products that are getting a lot more exposure. And it's important, and it's good. And you should have these things in the book, and people need to learn about them and try them and get them.
Yeah, it's not going to be for everyone, of course. But, yeah, totally, if you love food and love cooking, why not, you know, broaden your horizons a bit. It's not just, there's also like molecular gastronomy is getting, I wouldn't say everybody has a molecular gastronomy cookbook in their house, but it's getting kind of popular, and so they use a lot of these ingredients too, different kinds of gels, and a lot of the ingredients are vegan, so that's been kind of fun to watch.
Right. Now, I wanted to talk next about the silicon baking things, sill pats and things. Do you use them? Do you like them?
Not really.
I would definitely
not for pie. I don't even know if they make a silicon pie plate. I would say run away from it. if it's there.
The crust protector is the one silicone thing that I actually love.
Mm-hmm.
A silicone crust protector was pretty much a lifesaver.
Those work great, yeah. And I actually, when I make any kind of a candy nut or a caramel thing that needs to be cooled, I might have like a small sole pad that I spread it out on. But in general, I'm not really a fan of actually like a baked thing in a silicone, you know, container.
No.
Why?
The texture for me. I mean,
it changes the way
it doesn't bake correctly.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think they brown very well, mm-hmm. and they tend to be on the damp side, at least for vegan mm-hmm. things. I don't know. Maybe they work wonders for other.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Maybe they do work better for other things. But especially when we were doing cupcakes, we tried a million times to, you know, have cupcakes come out decent in silicone, and it just didn't.
Yeah.
We really tried.
We really tried.
We did our due diligence.
Yeah, I kind of like the concept of it. I bought one little mini cupcake silicone thing, and I always found it had a funny flavor that it put into my cupcakes.
Yeah, not a fan. No.
Yeah, I mean,
I think
environmentally,
they work as molds.
It seems like a great concept, but yeah. Okay, but some things that work for me are parchment paper.
Yes.
This is a brilliant thing.
Yeah, indispensable. But for pies, you don't really need much. I mean, I'd say the only two baking things that are really indispensable are like a nice big ceramic dish, like
mm-hmm.
a nice big, like a 10-inch one. And mm-hmm. and people have told me that they have ones that they got from their grandmother, you know, that have been passed down through the family. And those are fantastic for big bubbly fruit pies.
Yeah.
Those are just the best.
Definitely
the
best.
Yeah, finding the right pie dish is pretty important. We definitely went. I went with Thrift Store for most of my pie dishes. I don't think they make them like that anymore.
Yeah. Well, my rolling pin is several generations. I'm not using a wine bottle, I'm using a very old wooden rolling pin, and I love it.
Yeah, but for equipment, it doesn't. It's actually one of the least fussy kinds of pastries you can make in terms of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't need much.
Now, all of your pies in this book are sweet.
Yes.
You didn't make any savory pies.
No.
Was there a reason for that, or there were just too many sweet pies to make?
It's a dessert book.
It's dessert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it fits in with the cookie and the cupcake book, sort of our big epic trilogy of desserts.
Right. So one of the really great things, the great ending of this book, are the toppers, the whips, the creams. Because a lot of people, when they go vegan, there are a handful of things that have not been perfected, but we're getting there. And cheese is a big complaint, and we're moving better in the cheese department. And then whipped cream.
Right. There's actually a few yummy ones on the market that we use
mm-hmm.
To top our pies with. But, yeah, we came up with a Rad Whip, which is like Cool Whip, but vegan.
Mm-hmm.
Has some of our magical ingredients like
mm-hmm.
The agar and cashews and coconut oil was another ingredient we really utilized a lot.
Yeah, definitely coconut oil.
Yeah, well, it's great because it's somewhat solid at room temperature, and so it gives
mm-hmm.
you that
exactly
that good texture for whipping.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you guys have some plans for what you're doing next, restaurants and all kinds of things happening?
Yeah, Terry, what are you doing?
Well, as we were, you know, right before you called me, I am working on my international cookbook. It's got everything, lots of different kinds of, from Asia to Africa to Mediterranean. It's sort of like my next big solo book project. And I'm really in the thick of it right now. I'm, you know, practically covered in injera batter. It's that crazy.
Do you get to do any traveling for this book, or it's all virtual traveling?
Well, I have done a lot of traveling in the past already.
Mm-hmm.
Right now I'm sort of in lockdown mode. But I also, living in New York City, it's sort of like you have the world a subway ride or two away.
Absolutely. I love going to different neighborhoods, and I really feel like I'm in another country.
Especially living in Queens, it really is sort of like its own little planet. It's pretty wild here.
Yep, I agree. I live here too. And Isa,
I'm Not really working on a book right now, so I'm just kind of trying to figure out an outlet for food for me. I mean, I was doing a lot of benefit dinners and bake sales and things like that, but I'm looking into opening a place here in Omaha, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I have never been to Nebraska, have no idea what it's like, but
yeah.
I would imagine that they could use a few good veg places.
Yeah. There's some stuff happening here. I think it's getting more and more vegan friendly all the time. Actually, there was a vegan restaurant and it closed, but it was pretty yummy, and it was well received.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, everybody can always use more vegan restaurants, more places to eat, and just I think more restaurants that are supporting the local agriculture when possible.
Amen.
Yeah,
Carrie, mm-hmm. I just read something that you're going to be in an interview with Mark Bittman later this week.
I think that's Terry.
Yeah,
Terry.
Yes. This is sort of a big crash surprise that I'm going to be part of a vegan panel on Pacifica Radio.
That's huge.
I'm still getting the details, but I believe it's going to be 4 p.m. our time in New York.
Mm-hmm.
When is
that? On Friday,
that?
This coming Friday.
Okay.
Do you know who else is going to be on it?
I believe Colleen Patrick Rideau.
Right.
And Mark Bittman.
And so I'm excited about this. And Mark Bittman is such an enigma to me, as is Michael Pollan, where they know so much about factory farming and sustainable agriculture, and yet they're not vegan.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it.
Terry, did you film that already? I mean, did you record that already?
That's coming this Friday.
But you didn't record it yet?
Nope.
You recorded it?
Not yet.
No, so do you know the format? Are someone going to be interviewing each of you, or are you going to have a discussion back and forth, or you don't know?
I don't know. All will be revealed to me.
Okay, well.
Very soon.
That's very, very, very exciting. And if you have the chance, ask Mark for me why he isn't vegan.
Okay.
I'm sure he's been hot talking about it. I think he just, you know, not what he wants to do.
Yeah. It's just sometimes he comes out with these really phenomenal articles and then these really crazy recipes with lobster or something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
what?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Well, that all sounds really, really good. Thanks so much for joining me on It's All About Food. Thanks for all that you do and all these sweet, delicious recipes that you come up with that make this planet just a better, delicious place to be.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do you have websites that you can share with us before we go?
Sure.
Theppk.com.
The PPT is in Post-Punk Kitchen.
PPK, yeah.
PPK.com. Yeah. Great. And there are recipes and all kinds of fun things up there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you both so much for joining me, and have a very happy holiday.
Thanks, you too.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, so we just have a few minutes left. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you've been listening to It's All About Food. Oh, my God, what's that? Am I still here? Because I want to sing a little song. Can we end with a little song? When I was young, my mom used to sing a song about pie, and I'm going to sing it for you now. Can we turn my ending music off so I can sing it? Great. Shoo fly pie, an apple pan dowdy makes your eyes light up. Your tummy say howdy. Shoo fly pie, an apple pan dowdy, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Shoo fly pie, and apple pan dowdy makes the sun come out when heavens are cloudy. Shoo fly pie, and apple pan dowdy, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Mama, when you bake, Mama, I don't want cake, Mama, for my sake, go to the oven and make some ever-loving shoo fly pie, and apple pan dowdy makes your eyes light up, your tummy say howdy, shoo fly pie, and apple pan dowdy, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Woo!
too. Thanks for listening. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. Have a delicious week and eat some pie. Goodbye. We'll be right back.